The reading this evening will be from 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test?
Good to be with you again tonight. We are thankful for the opportunity to be here and to worship and to serve God. Hope everyone had a good afternoon and we had a good singing as it was suggested. And now we have the opportunity to praise God some more through our worship of Him. If you are here this morning, you know that we talked about a people with proper priorities. And that is who we should want to be. We should want to have our priorities properly aligned. And so we looked at the book of Haggai a little bit, chapter 1, that is, a few verses there. And we found the people who were good people. And they were at first devoted to God and they wanted to serve God. They're the ones that came out of the Babylonian captivity. Many, we saw this morning, of the Jews stayed behind because they were comfortable in that foreign land. But these were the ones who went home to do the work that God wanted to be done, namely to rebuild the temple or the house of God. But along the way, they lost their way. And because at first of the persecution that came from the Samaritans and then, of course, the king of the Persians, commanded that they stop building the house, and so they quit doing that. And then that obstacle was taken away. But by that time, their priorities had changed. They were no longer devoted as they first were. Their minds were no longer on the building of the Lord's house, but now they were concerned about their own business, about their own houses, about their own crops and their own businesses. And so their priorities got out of place. But that can happen to all of us. And so good people can have improper priorities. And I suggested to you this morning that in some ways we are pretty much like those people back then. We are, generally speaking, we are made up of good people, God-fearing people who want to do the work of God. But it is very easy for any of us to allow our priorities to get out of place. And so we need to be careful about that. And I'm going to give just a couple of suggestions of things that we might be able to do in order to prevent that from happening. But this morning we looked at a couple of more things with regard to those who have improper priorities. First of all, those with improper priorities often have excuses. I said this morning that I probably should have said always, and that is the case. But we need to understand that there is no excuse for not serving God. There is no excuse that will be justifiable in the eyes of God. And so we need to stop and consider why it is we're not doing what God has called us to do, if indeed that is the case. And then we look at those with improper priorities often ignore the providential hand of God. And I understand that that's a very difficult subject matter. It is for me to understand all the time when something is coming by way of providence from God. But we need to keep our eyes open. Sometimes we can learn a lot by way of providence. And God is a lot of times trying to wake us up and get us on the right track. But sometimes we ignore His providence. And so we need to stop and consider that. Then finally, we looked at those with improper priorities often don't get what they want. And that being the case, why not just go ahead and serve God? Instead of ignoring God and trying to do our own thing, often we don't get what we want. And so we find ourselves without what we want. And at the same time, we're not doing the work of God either. And so we just find ourselves in a mess. And sometimes our lives end up in a mess. It is best simply to do what we can to serve God. But we have to have proper priorities. Now, let's look at two things as we just basically finish up the lesson. I didn't have time to get to all of it this morning, and so we'll take just a few minutes tonight to look at two more points. These are just a couple of ways that we can either prevent ourselves from mixing up our priorities, or if that has already happened, this can help us to climb out of that situation. Number one, carefully consider our conduct. If you turn over to Haggai chapter 1, I want you to notice at verse 5 and 7 that God himself exhorts the people to do this very thing. Haggai chapter 1 and at verse 5, you notice it says, "And now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Now that's coming from God. When God exhorts us to do something, we ought to listen, don't you think? When God says you need to stop and consider your ways, you understand right away that that is a good thing for us to do. And it is something that all of us should engage in from time to time. Just a couple of verses later at verse 7, it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." And so twice, very rapidly, God says to the people, you need to think about what you're doing. You need to examine your life. You need to take inventory of how you're living, because the fact of the matter is, what they were doing wasn't working. And so God wanted them to think about that and to look at themselves. And that, again, is what we all should do. The passage that was read for us just a moment ago is one that we're familiar with. Paul says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Paul, as you know, is writing to Christians. It's amazing to me that we have so many people who buy into something like Calvinism that says, oh, it's impossible to be disqualified. It's impossible to fall from grace. And yet we have passages like this from an inspired apostle that warns us, you need to examine yourself unless you indeed are disqualified. All of us can be disqualified. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're a seasoned saint or if you're a newborn Christian. It doesn't matter if you're an elder or a deacon. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher. There's not one of us here tonight who cannot be disqualified if we're not careful. And I've often pointed out over the years that most of the time when Christians fall away, it doesn't happen just like that. It is something we drift into. We drift away from the Lord. And one of the things that can prevent us from doing that is self-examination. Sometimes in our drifting, we do that slowly, and what happens is we get our priorities all mixed up. And again, it doesn't happen overnight. You don't go to bed one night and all of your priorities are perfectly aligned and you're serving God and you're active in the church and you get up the next morning and now there's just nothing. It doesn't happen like that. It happens slowly. Like that boat that drifts off into sea. The people on it don't even realize they're drifting until it's too late. But the one thing, once again, that can prevent that is just looking at our lives, examining ourselves. But I would warn you that when we examine ourselves, when we begin to consider our ways, we need to make sure that we're honest with ourselves. Because if we're not honest with ourselves, we may just end up in a worse situation than we were before we started the examination. I think about the parable. If you turn your Bibles over to Luke, the 18th chapter, I know you're familiar with this. In Luke chapter 18 and at verse 9. Luke the 18th chapter and the verse is 9. Listen to Jesus. It says, "And he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Then verse 13 says, but the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we know from verse 14 which one of those two men ended up being justified. What was the difference between them? The tax collector was honest with himself. The fact of the matter is, the Pharisee examined himself. If I were to ask you, if I were just simply to ask, which one of these men really examined themselves? Well, at some point, they both probably did. We don't have record of the tax collector doing it, but obviously he was humble and he knew where he was spiritually. He knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he needed the mercy of God. So clearly he at some point had taken inventory of his life. But I would argue with you that the Pharisee did too. And the things that he said here probably were accurate when he starts to basically brag about what he was doing. I fast twice in a week. Is there any reason for us to doubt that? No, he probably did fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I get. He probably did. But as he was examining himself, he had the blinders on. He could not see that he was a sinner just like the publican or the tax collector. And when you examine yourself and you're not honest with yourself, the only thing you'll do is convince yourself that you're right, even if you're wrong. And so I'm suggesting to you tonight, we need to consider our ways. That can help us keep our priorities properly aligned, but be honest with yourself. There's no reason not to be. God knows exactly who you are and how you're living and where you are in your spiritual life. We need to know that our own self, and that's why we need to examine ourselves. And if we're dishonest, it's not going to help. It's only going to hurt. Now, sometimes we can do that by just asking ourselves some questions and looking at some real areas. Are you spending, or how are you spending your time? That might have something to say about your priorities. Are you wasting time? How much time do you give to God? It is amazing to me that we have to push and prod some brethren to come out to all of the services of the saints. You're talking 4 hours a week at the most. And you think of all that God has done for us, and sometimes we can't sacrifice just a little bit of time. Examine yourself. Consider your ways. How much time do you spend doing the work of the Lord? Time is important. And Ephesians chapter 5, you remember in the great passage where Paul in the King James, it has Paul saying, redeem the time. Like the ESV, it simply says, make the best use of your time. And the word time there is kairos, and it simply has to do with a specific or definite time, sometimes translated opportunity. And the fact of the matter is we need to take the time to serve God. We need to take every opportunity that we have to serve God. How often are you doing that? How much time do you waste? I need to ask myself, how much time do I waste? We all waste time, but we need to make sure that we limit those times that we waste. And again, that points to our priorities. We should ask, how are you spending your money? That may say something about your priorities. We don't talk about money a whole lot. We don't preach every other week on giving or anything like that, like some denominational folks. But the fact of the matter is, we are commanded to give. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, of course, lay by in store upon the first day of the week as God has prospered you. Do you do that? It may say something about your priorities. Do you care about the house of God? Realizing that it's important that we have the finances to do the work that God has given us to do. And the only way we can finance that is the scriptural way, not by having some bake sale or something like that, not by anything social, but simply by the free will giving on the first day of the week. Are you participating in that? Where are your priorities? We can ask, what are your goals in life? And we could spend much time on these questions. Do you participate in the personal work groups? What about that? What about that? Every one of you, every one of us in this congregation are in a personal work group. Do you participate in that? Oh, but preacher, you know those things that they're voluntary. They're not mandatory. That's not the question. That's not even the point. Do you participate in them? Maybe you can't go out into the community with some of us when we do that, but you can send a card to one of the sick. You can be in the personal work groups and encourage other people who are there. You may have some comments, some ideas about how we might grow or some things we can do to better ourselves as a congregation. You can participate. You can certainly pray and just simply be a part. Do you involve yourself in these kind of things? How much do you do for the needy of this church? How do you spend your leisure time? And there's just question after question that you can ask. Good questions. You can come up with your own set of questions. Questions meant simply to see where you are spiritually. It's important. If you do that regularly, you'll not get your priorities mixed up. Because again, that doesn't happen overnight. It's a slow process. You can prevent it by considering your ways. Well, let's look at one more thing very quickly. Purposely position our priorities. If you don't want your priorities to get out of place, you have to make up in your mind that you're not going to allow that to happen. It has to be your fixed purpose that you are going to put God first in your life. The fact of the matter is, most human beings are selfish in nature. You just look over the world, and you see, most people, most human beings are selfish. And so we have to fight that natural inclination to do what we want to do. We have to rise above selfishness. I heard an illustration of some folks that were going out hunting, and there was a group of them, and they were going to go out two by two, and so they divided up in those pairs in the morning, and they met back at the cabin that night. And one man came back and he had a big old 200-pound deer he was carrying, but his partner wasn't with him. And so his friend said, where's Bob? And the man said, well, he about 2 miles back, he had a stroke. And his friends were shocked. You mean you just left him there? Why did you bring this big old deer and leave Bob back there in the road? He said, well, you know, it was really a tough decision, but I decided nobody was going to steal Bob. Well, that was pure selfishness, wasn't it? But let me tell you about that man. He was a selfish man. He was probably a selfish boy. And he simply never did make up in his mind that he was going to change. A lot of who we are, whether it's selfishness, whether it's some other way that we our priorities are mixed up, a lot of what we are is simply because we haven't determined in our mind that we want to be different. And we have to do that. We can't be selfish. Listen, if we're always thinking about me, we're not going to put God first. But we have to fight that natural inclination. Paul said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each one of you look not only on his own interest, but also for the interest of others. You cannot be a Christian and be selfish at the same time. Being a Christian is about following the steps of Jesus, and he was the very opposite of selfishness. If your priorities are going to be in the proper place, and the top priority being serving God, doing his work, fulfilling his word in your life, You have to ditch any business of selfishness. But that takes work. That takes determination. We have to make up in our minds that we're going to put God first. We have to make up in our minds that we're going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Remember the word kingdom, as I've said many times before. That has to do with the rule and reign of God. And in real life situations, we have to do that. We have to allow God to rule in our lives, to reign in our hearts. And you can't do that while you're putting yourself first. But that's what we do when we get our priorities out of place. And so just a couple of suggestions. Examine yourself from time to time. It's a good practice. And then make up in your mind that you're going to have your priorities in the right position. And if you do that, you probably won't get your priorities mixed up. And by examining yourself, you might discover even tonight it's too late. You've already done that, and you need to get back on track. Well, you can do that, but you need to be honest with yourself so that you can overcome that. We can all do better in these areas, but we need to be a people with proper priorities. It is better for the church here. The more people we have whose priorities are properly aligned, the stronger we'll be as a local church. And that's what we want. Most importantly, we want to please and glorify God, and we want to go to heaven after a while. But we can't do that if our priorities are mixed up. So let's work on that the very best that we can. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you're not a Christian. In Mark chapter 16, at verse 16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Isn't that simple? Aren't you glad that salvation isn't based on your intelligence or your strength or your financial position? Aren't you glad that you don't have to earn your way to heaven? What you need to do, though, is obey the gospel of Christ. That means believing in Jesus and being baptized. If you haven't done that tonight, you're still in an undone condition. But you can change it. That's the beauty. You can do it right now, this very night. You shouldn't leave tonight if you're outside of the ark of safety. If you're lost tonight, you should change that situation. If you believe in Jesus, be baptized. You'll be a new creature in Christ. Old things will pass away. All things will be made new. If you're a child of God who has drifted a little bit, get back on course. Have a change of heart, a change of mind. Repent of your sin. Ask God for forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive you. If you've sinned publicly, come forward. We'll pray for you. We'll encourage you. The whole congregation will encourage you. We'll do everything we can to help you stay on the right track. But you need to act. And we hope you'll do it right now as we're together. Stand and sing.